Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. That's one of the, probably the most famous passages of Scripture when we look at when Jesus was born, but we're going to look a little bit after Jesus was born this morning in the story. Luke chapter number 2. And the title of this morning's message is Imagine Living When Jesus Comes. Imagine Living When Jesus Comes. And the thought is, we often like to think about, okay, what it would have been like for Mary, for Joseph, also maybe for Elizabeth and Zacharias, the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon, Anna. And we think about that during that day, during that time period, what it must have been like for them when they came. And but I want to take a different thought, a little bit of a different twist this morning, and think about it that Jesus is coming again. We know that he's going to return again someday. And most people believe, and I would agree, that it's getting closer and closer. Could happen at any time, could happen at any moment. And I like to say, and I think it's kind of, you heard one preacher say, we're living on the edge of eternity. So if we're living on the edge of eternity, how am I supposed to live? And we go back and there's a story, and every once in a while we play something called Family Feud. We call it Church Family Feud, and they have different questions like the TV show that used to be way back when. I guess it used to be cleaner way back when. Nowadays it's kind of not something I would watch. I don't even watch it that much when way back when. But you ask questions. And one of the questions was, we polled 100 Christians their favorite Bible character during the Christmas story besides Jesus, because everybody's answer should be Jesus. But you know, most people would think the number one Bible character would be Mary or Joseph or other ones. Well, mine, and I answer the questions too, was Simeon. And I've preached on Simeon before, but for the first time, I began thinking about this, that Simeon was alive when Jesus came the first time. And Simeon's life teaches us how we should live today, because we may be alive when Jesus returns a second time. So when we're living, and we think about it, you say, well, Pastor, things were a lot different back then as they were today. Were they really that much different? You think about it, there was a lot of evil. People were pushing evil all the time. They were living under a regime, the Roman government, that they hated. They were overtaxed. I mean, that talks like we are today. We're overtaxed. I mean, there's thing after thing religiously. I mean, you think about the propaganda that these Pharisees and religious leaders were trying to push. I mean, there was a lot of hypocrisy. There was a lot of worshiping false things. And I mean, just a ton of different wicked things and evil agendas being pushed that day. Just as today, there's a lot of wickedness. People are calling evil good, good evil, all those different things. And we live in a day and time with a government that many times is oppressing. And I guess a lot of different interesting things when you compare the two. It was a very, very dark day back then. It's a very, very dark day today. And here you see in the story a few Bible characters. Now, we don't know about them all. We don't know everyone's names and things like that. But we do know about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Wonderful, had a wonderful testimony. We do know about Mary and Joseph. Also, you know, just man, and Mary found highly favored among women. Wonderful testimony. We know about Simeon and Anna, too. And we see that in spite of being a very dark day, that these were people who were silently just serving the Lord, waiting for the return of Jesus, or waiting for Jesus to come for the first time. So I'd like to look at the story with Simeon today. And I'd like for us to look at it from this way, how to live as if Jesus was going to come today. Because that's what, and there's a lot of interesting things in Simeon's life that I think we can learn and we can grow from. And I think it'll be helpful for us this Christmas. And I know it is 8 days after when Jesus was born. You say, well, Pastor, you should preach this next Sunday, because next Sunday is closer to when Simeon would have been there. Well, thanks for the advice, but next Sunday we're revealing the theme for 2024. So we're going to stick with this today, and we're going to look at this about how we should live. And hopefully this can help us, because Jesus could come back before next Sunday, right? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to think that he could come back? And he did come the first time. There were people who was alive. It was a dark time. It was a time where there wasn't a lot of people working. worshiping the one true God, but then you see a remnant of people that loved the Lord, that even like Zacharias and Elizabeth, you remember the main story, they lived for God even though they didn't get what they wanted. And Mary, highly favored among women, Joseph being a just man. And then we introduce to Simeon and Anna. But Simeon has, besides maybe Mary, has the most talking about the testimony that how he lived during that time. And just a few short verses, we are introduced to a man that was living as if Jesus could come, or the Messiah could come. And he was living as if he could come that day. And I'm hoping, praying that we will be inspired by this and say, you know what? That's the way I want to live. I don't want to be ashamed that Jesus came today. I don't want to be ashamed because of the way I'm living. I want to live the right way. I want to live for the Lord. And I find it very interesting as we compare this, because think about it. Wednesday night, we talked about not missing Christ during Christmas. And we looked at that a little bit. But back then, there was a ton of people who missed who Jesus was. You know, he was there. He delivered. He raised people from dead. He preached wonderful messages. They even said, hey, he's not preaching like the scribes. I mean, over and over and over, tons of people were confronted with Jesus, and they missed him. And why did they miss him? Because they were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for someone who's going to get an army together to take over Rome. They were looking for someone who's going to deliver them from taxation. They were looking for political reform. But what they really needed was Jesus. And the same thing today. We're all looking for a lot of things, and we miss Christ during Christmas because we get distracted with so much. So today, I like to look at this Christmas character who teaches us how we should be living when Christ returns. And if he returns this upcoming week, we'll be encouraged by trying to live for him. Let's look here in Luke chapter 2. Let's start in verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Christ to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's have a word of prayer and ask for God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you. Lord, in this time when we are celebrating your birth, and we are so excited and so thankful for what all those things mean, that God became man, dwelt among us, pay for the sin debt of mankind. Lord, we rejoice, and we want to know how to rejoice. Lord, we spent this month looking at different Bible characters about that you used in this story because of the way they were living. We've talked about Joseph, and we've talked about some of those other ones on short times and short reasons. But today, Lord, will you drive home how you were able to look and use Simeon in this story? And Lord, help us to understand and see some remarkable characteristics that we want to learn from. And Lord, that way you could speak to our hearts about how we should be living when you return again. Lord, thank you for loving us. Help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so there is three different things, and underneath the three different things, there's a bunch of points, but we'll get through it pretty quickly. So I want you to first see the description that was given about him that's found in verse number 25. He was just, he was devout, and waiting. Those are three separate things we're going to look at really quickly. Just, devout, and waiting. He was a just man. So what does it mean to be just? It means he was right with God. It means that he had a relationship that was right with God. Let me ask you that question. Are you right with God today? Is there anything between you and the Savior? Is there something that you should confess to him, that you should get right and be able to get, are you right with him today? And not only are we speaking about if you have a relationship with God as a child of God and as a heavenly father, but do you know him personally today? Has your sins been forgiven? Have you called out to him in repentance and in faith and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Are you right with God today? If you died today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? The Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. So he was a just man because he had made peace with God and he was right with God. But not only does it say he's just, look what that next word it says here in verse number 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. That word devout there gives the idea of being careful. He literally was careful and gave attention to his faith. He was serious about his walk with God. We live in such careless days. People can pick up their faith and they can leave it. They feel like, hey, it's important here on Sunday, but the rest of the week, it's not that important. It's important on every other Sunday than a Sunday that something else comes up. Now, are you serious about your faith? And that's what he's referring to in the fact that he was devout. As we live in careless days today, are we devout? Are we serious about our faith? Do we desire to be right with God? Are we keeping short accounts with God? Is it something that we say, hey, my faith is something I want to express? It's something I want to share to others. It's something that's a priority in my life. And because it's a priority, I'm going to be devout. I'm going to be serious and careful and make sure I don't do things against the Lord. The Bible speaks about this, and it's important that we would be watchful. And it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The scripture's there, and Jesus is speaking to Peter at night when he fell asleep, and he says, look, you need to be alert. You need to be serious about this. You need to watch. You need to pray. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And we gotta resist letting our Christian lives be something that we're not careful about. There are certain people that are certainly careful about many things, and they worry about many things. And we think about Christmas as an example of all the things that are happening. Christmas, there's different things. It's just got to be right. It's got to be perfect. There is the Christmas dinner. I've been around a lot of places where there's Christmas dinner there. And for some people, it's got to be exactly right. It's got to be cooked just perfect. Everything's got to be perfect or Christmas is going to be ruined. Christmas isn't going to be ruined. Now that Jesus came, you can't mess up Christmas. You might be able to mess up a meal, but you're not going to mess up Christmas. You're going to mess up our own spirit and our own hearts if we don't have the right spirit about it. But with this, you say, Pastor, what does that have to do? They're careful about it. These things have to go in at the exact time, at the exact reason, to be able to be prepared and ready at a perfect time for when everybody shows up. And they're super careful about certain things. We do that in our work lives. We do that many times in our sports lives or our hobby lives. But do we do that with our Christian faith? Are we careful about it? Are we devout about it? Hey, you better not be late for this, but are we late to meet with the Lord every day? Are we late to meet with him morning after morning? I don't know, it doesn't have to be a specific time, but is there days that we skip? Is there a reason? I mean, there are certain TV shows that we would not skip no matter what happened. Now, I know nowadays people have DVRs and they have, I was going to say VCRs, but those things are things of the past. Now, you know, there are things that we can record things so we can watch it later on. But I remember when there wasn't VCRs and other times like that, that if you wanted to watch a certain show, you better be there at a certain time and this and that. I remember preachers used to get up there and preach. You won't miss a show, but you don't mind missing Jesus every once in a while. And they were preaching it and say, let's be devout about our faith. Let's put the priority there. Now, you also see that not only does it say in verse 25 that he was just and devout, but he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the coming of the Messiah. That's exciting. I mean, that's what, and I was telling in Children's Church today, once again, we have that outreach to young people that we bring in on the vans and buses. Anyone's welcome to come. Children, you know, even from our church family come some. And we were telling them about it for thousands of years. Back in the garden, it was told to Eve that there was going to be a Messiah coming for thousands of years. They were waiting for that Messiah to come. And with that, that's the consolation. Simeon was waiting for that. He said, he came. What are we supposed to be looking for? And people say, well, I look forward to Christmas every single year. But what are we supposed to be looking for today? We're supposed to be looking for the fact he could come today. We're especially looking for that he's going to return someday. The first time he came as that baby, he came as the Savior. He died for the sins of mankind. Someday he's coming as king and ruler, and he will set up his kingdom. We understand that. But the Bible tells us to watch and pray. The Bible tells us to be watching for him, looking for that blessed hope. And Simeon here is, you say, well, Pastor, how am I supposed to live? The first thing you're supposed to do is you're supposed to be just. Supposed to be right with God. You're supposed to have a right relationship with him. That starts with a relationship by asking him and believing in him and trusting in him and establishing that relationship of that child. He allows us to become a child of God. And then we're supposed to be right with him. We're not supposed to have sin between us. We're supposed to confess our sins. So that way he will be faithful and just and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. But not just, we should be serious, we should be devout, and we should be looking for the coming of the Lord. The next thing I want you to see about Simeon, not only was he just, devout, and waiting, the second thing I want you to see is he was led by the Spirit. I think this is really cool. Look what it says in verse 25. It says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Go to verse number 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Second way that Simeon teaches us how to live on the cusp of eternity, on the edge of eternity, he teaches us that we should be just and devout and waiting, but we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. If we're a believer or a Christian, the Spirit of God lives inside of us, and the Spirit of God wants to lead and direct our lives. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit means that he is leading and directing our lives. He's controlling us. And that's what we want. That's what our desire should be. You say, where do you see that in Simeon's life? You see, well, at the end of verse 25, it says the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse number 26, you see that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. He says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. Now, does the Holy Spirit speak to us today? Of course he does. We're not talking about in some audible voice or some mythological creature over us when we're dreaming, things like, no. But he speaks to our hearts. He leads us, he corrects us, he guides us. If we will acknowledge him in all our ways, he's going to direct our paths. He's going to lead our paths. And here he is the Holy Spirit speaking to him. But not only is the Holy Spirit speaking to him, look what it says in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. So we see first that the Holy Spirit is upon him. And I know it's a different dispensation. I know that the Holy Spirit of God came inside of us once at Pentecost. I understand all that. But at different times, the Holy Spirit would come upon people before that. He's on Simeon. He's speaking to Simeon. And not only is he speaking to Simeon, Simeon's listening. Many times there's believers today that have the Holy Spirit of God that lives in them. The Holy Spirit speaks to them, but they don't be led by him. So we don't want to just have the Holy Spirit of God residing in us and him speaking to our hearts and not be led by him. We must learn to surrender and say, God, whatever you want, whatever you desire. So we learn from Simeon that the Holy Spirit of God was upon him, that he was speaking to him, and he was led by him. So when he's led by him, how does he act? Well, look what it says in verse number 28. It says, then he took up in his arms and blessed God. He praises the Lord. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to want to praise him. You're going to go and rejoice in him. So, Pastor, I don't really enjoy it. Then you're not filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is going to be the one that testifies to Jesus. He's the one that's going to light that fire to say God deserves to be worshiped. He deserves to be praised. And that's exactly what he does. He says in verse 28, and then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Not only is he going to want to be praised when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to praise the Lord, but when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to speak to God. You're going to want to pray to God. Look what it says there. And he says, he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. So a person that is led by the Holy Spirit of God is going to want to pray. They're going to want to have a commune. They're going to want to have a relationship. You're going to want to commune with them day by day, moment after moment. We should work on a relationship with God. And it's easy to use examples. You know, if you're married, if you don't spend time talking, you're never going to grow in your relationship. If you have a friendship, you're never going to grow in that friendship unless you're spending time together. Same thing with God. He's here. If you're spirit led and you're going to be led to pray to God, you're going to be led to commune with God. He said, Pastor, I've struggled with praying. You're not spirit filled then. It's always a heart matter. It's always a heart issue. When we come to this Christmas season, it's Merry Christmas. Let's celebrate. Let's do all these things. Let's remember all the wonderful, and all that stuff is great. That all that stuff is fantastic. But the number one thing that we should be looking for is to be spirit filled. Because as we allow ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, we're not only going to be led by Him, and we're not only going to want to praise Him, we're not only going to want to talk to Him, but we're also going to want to go and speak to others on behalf of Him. So where do you see that in the story? Well, look what it says in verse 34. And it says, and Simeon blessed them. Who is he talking about? Well, verse number 33, he says, Joseph and his mother marveled, talking about Joseph and Mary, the baby's mom. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now, and we keep on going. What happens is Simeon has a message for Mary and Joseph. Now, was this Simeon's message for Mary and Joseph? No. It was God's message that he wanted to relay to Mary and Joseph. So if you are spirit-led, not only will the Spirit be with you, and not only will he be speaking to you, not only will you be led by him, but when you're being led by him, you're going to want to praise God. You're also going to want to speak to God and commune with him, but you're going to want to speak to others on behalf of God. You should want, if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you're going to want to tell other people about what God has to say. That's what Simeon's doing. Simeon does not know, hear what it says in verse number 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. He doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. He's been waiting for this consolation to come. Then he's been waiting for the Messiah to come, and even the consolation of Israel to come. But he has a message. Mary and Joseph have something that God wants them to hear. God speaks to Simeon. Simeon goes to the temple that day. He sees him, and he delivers God's message. Now, how will Simeon know what to say? It's because he's spirit-fed, spirit-led. He is, he's fed what to say, of course, and he had the Spirit that's there. He's on him. The Spirit is leading him. He's listening. He's speaking to him, and he gives exactly what the message is. So what's the big deal about that? God's got a message for people around you. God wants you to go. He's given us a command to go on his behalf to tell the world that Jesus came to die for the sins of mankind. If you are spirit filled, you're going to want to speak to others on behalf of God. Now, it's important. Make sure you're speaking to God on behalf of others before you go speak to others. Yeah, and there's many times people are out there and they're passing out tracts or other things that they've never spent time alone with God. You need to go to God. You need, as he was doing here, you see the pattern that's here. He's hearing from the Holy Spirit. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. He's praising God. He is now speaking to God. Now God has given him a message to give to others, and God's given us all a message to give to others. It's not something he wants us to keep to ourselves. So that's why he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. That's the reason why the shepherds, what did they do when they heard? They worshiped, yes, but what did they do? They said they'd left, and they went out, and they told everybody about what they had seen and heard. Look what it says in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. What did they do? They went and they were praising the Lord. They were out telling others. They worshiped. They found the babe lying in verse number 20. It says, and the shepherds returning, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What did they do? They went and told other people. You think the angels came just to tell those shepherds? I don't think so. The angels came to tell those shepherds, so the shepherds would go tell everybody else. As I mentioned before, I think the shepherds out on the outskirts of town, if somebody else had heard about the babe, they would have probably went and told everybody else in the town, but would never bother the shepherds. So the angel, God sent the angel to the shepherds, the lowest ones inside the community, the outcasts of the community, and then they went and told everybody. And that's, he's given us a message to tell. This Christmas season, he's given us a message to tell. And if we're living on the edge of eternity, Simeon teaches us how to live. He tells us, hey, look, we should be just. We should be devout. We should be waiting for the return of the Lord. And we should be led by the Spirit of God. The third thing I want you to see is that he was content. And we've talked a lot about this in the last few months because I really think it's something that many people today struggle with, being content in the Lord. We learned about this morning in Sunday school class, we say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I think we should, but what does it really truly mean to be merry? And we looked at three different passages in the book of Proverbs that talked about a merry heart and talked about how a merry heart, the benefits of it and how it gives a good testimony and how a merry heart helps us be content. But also we learned how a merry heart helps cure many diseases. And it says here in verse 29, and I thought this was interesting. It says, this is what Simeon is saying to God. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And I thought about that for a second. So this is a picture of an old man. He's been waiting for many years for the consolation of Israel. He was even told by the Holy Spirit he was not going to die till he saw it. He sees it and he says, okay, that's enough. I'm ready to go. He said, what about you? I don't know if it was me. I would want to say, okay, that's the baby. I want to watch the rest of my life to see what's going to happen to him. I want to see him grow up. I want to see him go die on the cross. Of course, he didn't know exactly how he was going to die unless, you know, I know he was would have been an expert in the Old Testaments and things like that. But he was content with just knowing that he was part of God's plan. He was happy with just seeing the baby. That was enough for him. He was excited. He was content for his role that he has found. And he was led by the Holy Spirit. And he said, look, it's enough. He didn't say, hey, I need to watch him die. He believed in God's plan. He knew that he was going to be the Messiah. He knew that this was the chosen one. He knew all those things, and he learned to be content. And I see in Simeon's life an older man that's there, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting. And then God answered his prayer. He was a joyful man. I tell you, he was a joyful, happy old man, and that's what I want to be. I know some people say, you are old. Some people say, you're not old. I don't want to be a grumpy old man. Now, you might chuckle because last week in the play, that's exactly what I was. It was kind of fun yelling. I don't get to yell very often at people. It was kind of fun to yell at people because that's not normally how I act. At least I don't think it is. And from that, it's the idea that I want to have the joy of the Lord in my heart. There is too many people with, like we looked at in Sunday school class, with a broken spirit. And the dry of the bones. There's too many people that are Christians or believers, or at least proclaim to be believers, that do not have the joy of the Lord in their heart, do not have the joy of the Lord in their life. And Simeon here is he's saying, I don't need to see the cross. I don't need to see anything else. I'm content with just seeing him. And that's what we should be content with, what God has given us, the place that God's given us. We should always want more. We should always desire more. We should always want to grow close to him. We should want to be filled with the Spirit of God. But we're part of his plan today. We should want to go out into this world and say, hey, I don't need to see where the babe was born. I believe and trust what the word says. I didn't need to see him die on that cross because of the work he's done in my heart. But I know what I need to do today is what God has planned for me and the purpose he has for me. And Simeon was thankful and he was blessing God and he was praising God and he was giving that message out to others. Not because he said, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, but this could happen. No, he was content. He was satisfied. He says, that is enough. It's sort of like Jacob found out that Joseph was alive, and they brought back all those different things, the wagons. Joseph had sent them all home, and he sent them there, and Jacob was there, and Jacob heard that the son was still alive. He didn't care about any of those wagons, didn't care about any of the gifts. He said, it is enough that my son is alive. It's enough that my son's alive. And Simeon is saying, it's enough that I got to see him. And it is enough for us that Jesus Christ died for us and he rose again. We must have faith and believing and trusting what the Bible says and be content with the place he has put us and the service he has given us. We should be looking for his coming. We should be keeping our eyes on Christ. But so many of us are no longer content. So many of us are grumpy. So many of us are miserable. So many of us live in a misery-filled life. And when we say Merry Christmas, but but there's no Mary in our heart. When we say we should have a joyful spirit, but there's no joy there. It's missing. It's missing. Why is it missing? It's because we're not keeping our eyes looking for the coming. We're not keeping our eyes looking for the Savior. We want something more. We want something outside of what God desires. God desired for Simeon to see this. And Simeon said, hey, Lord, this is what you wanted me to see. He says, if I don't see anything else in this life, he says, if I don't see anything else, I can depart in peace. And that's what he says in verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. We say, what does that have to do with me? We must learn to be content where God wants us to be. We should not be trying to overstep and become something that God outside of God's will. We shouldn't be pushing for something that God doesn't intend for us. We should be desiring, God, whatever it is you want from me, I can depart now in peace. God, whatever it is, what lot you have in my life. Husbands have certain roles, wives have certain roles, children have certain roles. And we should not be trying to exercise different things and try to be, oh, I want to be the wife, I want to be the husband. And you say, that sounds ridiculous. Well, it may sound ridiculous, but people struggle with that today. And we must understand inside churches, there's different roles. Inside works, there's different roles. We must learn to be content where God has put us and just serve and trust the Lord. That's what Simeon's here. He's an older man. Anna comes and you see the story of Anna in verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity and was a widow of about 84 years, a widow for 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto God and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You say, what do you see here? You see another woman that's content. God had taken her husband after just a short number of years. He had been a widow for 84 years, and she was there at the temple fasting and praying night and day. She was content. That was where God had her. Now, was there anybody else? I don't know. What does God have for you? This is what we should learn to be content with. We should learn to desire a greater relationship with God, want to be closer to God, but where God has you, serve in the roles that God has given you and be thankful. Here, you know, Anna is not sitting there complaining. You don't see her whining. What do you see her doing? You see her serving the Lord, and you see her telling others. In verse 38, he says, likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Israel and Jerusalem. He says, hey, all these things that are happening here, this is where you're supposed to be. And she's telling everybody. She's not miserable. She's not complaining because of the fact she lost her husband. She's not complaining because she stays in the temple night and day fasting. No, she doesn't. Why is that? Because of the fact that she's content. So in our lives today, what can we learn on the edge of eternity? We need to be right with God, just, serious about our faith. We need to also be waiting for the Lord, looking for his coming. Also, we see how he was led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit was on him. He heard from the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him to praise God. The Holy Spirit led him to talk to God. The Holy Spirit gave him a message from God for somebody else. We all have a message for someone. And then we see here how he was content. And I know this last couple months has been a lot about contentment, being who God desires you to be, being thankful for where God's placed you with the opportunities God's given you instead of trying to go away and go around what God's trying to do in your heart and life. God has a desire. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. Grow where he's planted you. Use the opportunities that God has given you. You say, well, I got to take care of this. God's hands are not broken. God can take care of things. Learn to rejoice. Learn to be content. And learn, as we see from Simeon, on the cusp of Jesus coming back, how are we supposed to live? This day, as we learned from, when we learned a lot this past month about Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, now Simeon, Anna, we've learned this is how we're supposed to live when he could return. Now, was there people alive when Jesus came the first time? Of course there was. Was there a large group that was excited about him coming? Well, so many of them missed him. Why did they miss him? Because they were looking for a political leader. They were looking for somebody to save them from Rome, but he was interested in saving them from their sins. And we see there was some that did not miss Christ. now, as we're looking for that future kingdom, we're looking for his future return, we're looking for the rapture. How are we supposed to live today if we're sitting on the edge of eternity? We probably would have thought, man, it would have been really cool if we could have been there when he was born. It would have been really cool if we could have been there when the angels sang. It would have been really neat. But think about it, even greater. He's returning again to be king someday. He's returning again to be ruler someday, to be Lord of all someday. And we're sitting on the edge of eternity. How should we live? Simeon gives us an example of the type of person God uses. Do you want to be used of the Lord today? Be just, devout, waiting, led by the Spirit of God, and learn to be content. If he came back today, would he be pleased with the way you're living? Would you be ready for him today? There is going to be a day and a time and a moment when God calls home his church. It's the rapture. And as he calls home that church, there's going to be some that are left behind, that were not ready, that heard the truth of the gospel and rejected it, and their fate is going to be sealed forever. Don't let that be you. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm ready. If Christ returned today, I'm not sure that I would be ready. And this story is not as much about Simeon as of someone who loves God and wants to please God, the type of person that God uses. And I told you when we talked about Joseph probably 4 weeks ago, we're going to look at these characters, and we have a number of times, a number of different ways. But today, what would it be like if you were alive when Jesus came? Yes, the first time, but how should you be living if he comes today or while you're alive? We live in the most exciting time period of all creation, the end times. Let's live like it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that this morning's message was a challenge. Lord, a challenge to all of us to be spirit-led. Lord, we can use lots of fancy words and testimonies and stories and illustrations to try to drive it home. But the reality is, am I being led by the Spirit of God? Am I a scriptural person? Is every area of my life something that is open and free to God to do whatever he wants? Simeon was a man that was not only had the Spirit on him, he heard from the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, he praised God, he also talked to God, he had a message from God, he was content. Lord, that does not describe many of us today. Many of us struggle in one of those areas or a few of those areas. God, would you help us to understand that you've placed us in a spot for a purpose and a reason, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, would you help us to see and understand all the truths that we learned from Simeon's life and that we would apply it to our hearts today. Thank you for loving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.